Chapter 27. Harry sat down on Ron's bed, trying to figure out why everyone thought they had the right to tell him what to do. Draco hadn't even allowed Harry to leave Grimmauld Place until he'd cleaned up and glamours were cast. He had to admit, he did look more presentable now, and at least Hermione and the Weasleys weren't badgering him over his appearance. They were badgering him about everything else, though. He'd been ordered to eat. His sanity was again questioned regarding Snape's book and the snakes, and Hermione and Ron had been casting worried glances at him all morning so far. His life hadn't exactly been easier before the events of the last month, but it had certainly been simpler. "Okay, what's going on?" Hermione demanded, after casting privacy wards on the room.
"I found one of the missing Horcruxes," Harry said bluntly.
"What? Where?"
Ron asked, eyes wide.
"In the Chamber of Secrets," Harry admitted.
"Where's Ginny?" Hermione questioned worriedly.
"She went with you, didn't she? That's why she's not here."
"You took Ginny?"
Ron shouted.
"Ginny's fine," Harry snapped, irritated with his friends.
"Yes, she went with me. Fred and George are taking care of her. I checked on her this morning, and she's just fine."
"Why would you take her, and without telling us?" Ron asked, sounding hurt.
"I did try telling you," Harry pointed out. "You two didn't want to listen to me."
"You're right," Hermione said quietly. "I'm sorry."
"Well, it's done now. Ginny and I are both fine, and I found one of the Horcruxes," Harry said, not wanting to dwell on it.
"You actually found one?"
Ron asked in amazement. Harry nodded, his excitement coming back. He quickly filled them in on his visit to the Chamber of Secrets, glossing over Ginny's reactions to the place. Hermione looked a little suspicious, but she was sidetracked when Harry explained what he'd found.
"Have you read it yet?" Hermione asked, when Harry was finished.
"It could be dangerous."
"I think it is dangerous," Harry said grimly, "but not in the way you mean. It contains all of Voldemort's detailed notes about Horcruxes. It's not well-documented information, and it would be dangerous in the hands of any dark wizard who thought they'd like to give it a try."
"Good thing Snape doesn't know about it then," Ron said angrily.
Harry frowned thoughtfully, wondering if that was the reason why Dumbledore hadn't trusted Snape with information about the Horcruxes. Snape liked the dark arts, but surely he wouldn't want to split his soul into pieces?
"We've gone over this, Ron," Hermione was saying, her tone suggesting she'd repeated the words 1,000 times already. "You were obviously right all along that we shouldn't trust Snape."
"Is there anything else in the diary?" she asked Harry, not giving Ron a chance to say anything more about Snape.
"Does it say where the other Horcruxes are?"
Ron asked hopefully, his attention diverted.
"No," Harry answered Ron. "It doesn't say where they are, or even what they all were, as he didn't have them all at the time he hid the diary.
He had to have hidden it when he went back to Hogwarts to ask Dumbledore for a job," Hermione said thoughtfully.
"That's what I think," Harry agreed. "I think the stone on that shelf is somehow the curse on the Defense Against the Dark Arts position as well."
"It does make sense," Hermione admitted. "And Voldemort definitely didn't have all of his Horcruxes made at that time. Dumbledore told you that he planned to make his last one when he tried to kill you," she said, looking at Harry sadly.
"That's one thing that I'd really wanted to talk to you about last night," Harry said. "When I was talking to Ginny, we were wondering why Dumbledore had never asked her more about the chamber. I don't know why he didn't, and I started thinking about how I seem to be working my way through this on instinct." He took a deep breath. "I know there's a connection between me and Voldemort, and no one seemed to understand it, or how it happened. I started wondering if Voldemort had somehow tried turning me into a Horcrux," he said quickly. "If I had a bit of Voldemort's soul in me, then it would explain why I seemed to be able to work this out."
"Oh, Harry!" Hermione exclaimed, horrified.
"It's all right," Harry said reassuringly. I figured out that it's not possible.
Are you sure?
Ron asked hesitantly.
I'm positive, Harry said grimly. I know more about making Horcruxes than I'd ever wished to know. Voldemort couldn't have transferred any of his soul, his life force, to me.
Do you know what did happen? Hermione asked, watching Harry anxiously.
Voldemort was prepared to kill me, then immediately create his Horcrux. I would have been a significant death, as Dumbledore liked to phrase it, Harry said sarcastically.
Hermione and Ron winced at Harry's words and his tone, but continued to listen closely.
Voldemort liked to possess his victims before killing them, particularly when it was one intended for a Horcrux. I think significant deaths were to be savored, Harry said in disgust. He would leave a bit of his magic within the person, knowing it would be returned to him shortly. His own magic would combine with the victim's, enhancing the strength of his Horcrux when he created it immediately afterwards. When Voldemort tried to kill me, my mother's love for me, and hence her lingering magic, interrupted the process. Her magic, likely combined with my own, caused the spell to backlash upon Voldemort. He disappeared, but a bit of his magic was left in me, Harry said flatly.
But you can't counter the killing curse, Hermione said slowly, trying to process what Harry was saying. How could his curse have backlashed?
Harry took a deep breath. Here's my theory about what happened. Voldemort came into the house, killed my dad. My mom knew what was happening and likely cast some kind of spell to shield me. Voldemort entered the room and she pleaded with him for my life, not her own. If Dumbledore's concept of the power of love is anything to go by, that probably strengthened her shielding charm. Voldemort wasn't dealing with that, however. His focus was on me. He kills her when she won't get out of the way, not knowing that by killing her, he's just strengthening her spell yet again. He attempts to possess me, leaving his bit of magic behind as he planned. But he didn't expect the pain of my mother's love surrounding me. That seriously weakens him. He gives up on possessing me and casts the killing curse, but my mom's magic shields me. The killing curse is rebounded back to his already weakened body, and he disappears.
That theory is a little wild, Hermione said skeptically.
It's not as wild as I once would have thought, Harry said bitterly. He leaned forward, earnestly listing his points. I told Riddle that my mum died to save me, and he told me himself that it was a powerful counter charm. Whether it was actually a shielding charm or not, I have no idea. But whatever she did, it obviously worked, since I lived.
Dumbledore insisted that the power the Dark Lord knows not is love. I've got it. Voldemort doesn't.
Voldemort's tried to possess me before, at the Ministry. He didn't last long and it was extremely painful for him.
We know the killing curse was rebounded. Whether it's technically possible or not, it happened.
I've got Voldemort's Parseltongue ability, a power I shouldn't have.
Yes, Hermione said, a little impatiently. We do know all of that, but...
Hermione, Harry said sharply, cutting her off. Listen to me. You're right. I still don't know exactly how my mom's counter charm worked. I don't understand that magic fully. However, I know how Voldemort created his Horcruxes.
Hermione and Ron were startled by his intensity. Harry was determined, though, to make them understand.
I'm absolutely positive that Voldemort possessed me. It's how he works. It's the only thing that's ever made sense for how I ended up with some of his powers, Harry said.
So you're saying he intentionally transferred some of his powers to you?
Ron asked in disbelief.
Yes, Harry said. Remember, he didn't know that part of the prophecy, so he wouldn't have known not to. He possessed me, transferring some of his magic to me. Not his soul, he emphasized. He created the connection between us when he did, but I don't think it was intentional.
Why would he do that? Hermione asked plaintively. It doesn't make sense.
It does if you're Voldemort, Harry insisted. He values power above all else, Possessing a person's body means power over them. Transferring some of his own magic over the victim's means control over their magic. The connection between you? Hermione questioned, her brow furrowed deeply. I think he had to open up a mental link to be able to transfer the magic, Harry said. But then he possessed me. Everything would have happened quickly. When he encountered my mum's love surrounding me, he gave up on the idea of transferring his magic and simply tried to kill me. Considering that he didn't know we were linked until a year and a half ago, I believe he thought he hadn't been successful at all. But he was successful, Hermione said. The two of you were linked at that point, and you took on some of his magical powers. Yes, Harry said. But Harry, Hermione said, everyone knows that you are a Parselmouth. It should have been an obvious clue to Voldemort. Why didn't he realize before that you were linked? Why did it take him until you saw the snake bite Mr. Weasley to realize? Harry frowned, not having an explanation for that one. Because he wasn't around second year when everyone found out, Ron said. It's not something people like to talk about. You know who probably didn't know Harry was a Parselmouth? Even after he found out about the chamber being opened, he could have easily thought he'd opened it for Harry himself, just like he'd opened it for Ginny. It's not like he communicated with his diary self, since Harry had already destroyed it. Him. Whatever. Hermione and Harry were both nodding at Ron's explanation. What about your scar? Hermione asked Harry. Harry shrugged. My scar is where the killing curse hit me, he said. Hermione shook her head slowly. No, well, yes, but I think the scar is Voldemort's connection. It's the actual mental link he forged, she said. You feel everything regarding him through it. So, if Harry got rid of his scar, he wouldn't be connected to Voldemort anymore? Ron asked curiously. Could he get rid of it? I don't know, Hermione admitted, peering at Harry's forehead. But if the scar was gone, I think the link would be gone as well, and vice versa. Well, there's one more reason to defeat Voldemort, Harry said. I'd be happy to be rid of this ugly scar. Let's get rid of both and be done with it. All right, Hermione said briskly. Now that we've sorted that out, let's get back to Voldemort's diary. What else does it have to say? Harry finally reached for his rucksack and pulled out the diary, handing it to Hermione. For someone who loved books, she was extremely hesitant to take it. You're sure it's not dangerous? She asked nervously. It won't hurt you, but it'll probably scare you, Harry said bluntly. It's morbid and quite horrifying. Killing people and splitting up the soul is not a pleasant reading topic. Unable to control her curiosity, Hermione tentatively opened the diary, Ron looking over her shoulder. You've read all of it? She asked, glancing up in time to see Harry nod. You won't be able to read all of it yourself, though, Harry said. What? Hermione asked in confusion. Why? Everything related to Horcruxes in general is written in English, Harry explained. His other notes are written in Parseltongue. Hermione gasped in surprise before she started flipping through the diary until she came across pages with the odd markings. That's Parseltongue? Ron asked. How can snakes have a language that can be written down? Hermione was studying the pages with interest. Any language can be written down, she said absently. But surely Voldemort knew that it could also be decoded. I think, she added, sounding unsure the longer she looked at the page. She looked up at Harry. You actually see words here? She asked. Harry shrugged, nodding. It took me a bit to realize that I wasn't reading English, he admitted. Hermione looked fascinated, and Harry was sure she was about to slide way off track. They'd already done that once. Everything we've been talking about, with Voldemort transferring his powers and all that, it's important because he transferred his ability to speak Parseltongue, he said. What else could he have transferred? Ron wondered aloud. I don't know, Harry said impatiently. The fact that he transferred his ability to speak Parseltongue, though, was a huge fuck-up on his part. Language, Harry. Hermione admonished automatically. Harry rolled his eyes. I don't think it's hit you yet, he said. If I couldn't speak Parseltongue, I never would have been able to reach this diary. Or that Horcrux, he said pointedly. Hermione and Ron's eyes widened in realization. You're the only one who could, Hermione breathed. Not even Dumbledore. Exactly, Harry said. It gets better. Or worse. He added, frowning. He shook his head to clear it of that mental debate and pointed to the diary. Anyway, that. Everything written in Parseltongue explains Voldemort's plans for his Horcruxes. Like what? Ron asked, perplexed. You said he didn't have all his Horcruxes when he left this diary. No, he didn't, Harry said, but he had various plans for how he intended to protect them. On the pages of that diary are lists of possible curses that are compatible with the Horcruxes, he said sarcastically. You mean it's all laid out for you? Ron asked incredulously. He just left you the information? Oh, honestly, Hermione huffed. He didn't think anyone could read it. He was the only Parselmouth in existence at the time, Hermione said. And being the last in the line of Slytherin, he wouldn't have expected any others. It was his key defense to protect his secrets. Exactly, Harry said, and it does make things easier. But it's still not laid out for me, he warned. Why not, if it's all right there? Ron asked. Because we don't know what curses he used on which Horcruxes, Hermione answered, understanding better than Ron. For example, the mirror that Harry found. We'll have to research Voldemort's curses, discover the countercurses, and learn how to detect them. She looked to Harry suddenly. Does it say anything about how to destroy them? She asked. Harry nodded. The hard part is getting to them, and dealing with Voldemort's protections. We already know that Voldemort's notes aren't going to be any help with finding the locket, he said pointedly. This diary is mostly just a comprehensive book about Horcruxes, and in Parseltongue are the methods he used personally to create his. It's really not useful in terms of locating the Horcruxes, but once we have them, they can be destroyed just like any life. Hermione shuddered. You've essentially killed him once, then, she said. Harry blinked. I reckon I have, he said in realization, thinking about the other diary. You really are the chosen one, Ron said, sounding bemused and not a little horrified. Ron, Hermione admonished. It's all right, Hermione, Harry said grimly. The same thing hit me as well. Oh, Harry, I'm sorry it has to be you, Hermione said sadly. Harry rubbed at his temples. I'm fine, he said, but while we're talking about me having to kill someone, I should point out that those curses and protection spells of Voldemort's involve the dark arts. As he had expected, he ended up arguing with Hermione about the dark arts until he finally started shouting at her. Magic is magic! I don't give a fuck whether you label it light, dark, or monkey magic. If it helps me defeat Voldemort, then I'm going to learn it and I'm going to use it. Hermione and Ron stared at him in shock until Ron started sniggering. Monkey magic? He questioned. Harry opened his mouth and then shut it again, shrugging. Hermione was back to glaring at him. This is serious, Harry, she snapped. Don't you think I know that? Harry asked angrily. Aside from what I knew before, I've been reading dark arts texts most of the night. From what I can tell, dark magic is about intent and arbitrary ministry laws. I intend to kill Voldemort, and I don't really give a fuck about the ministry laws. He glared at her, his expression fierce. You can start telling me that I'm no better than he is when I start killing innocent people and attempt to take over the world. You'd never do that, Hermione exclaimed, horrified. Exactly, Harry said angrily. So back off about the dark magic. If you don't want to help me with this, then just say so. Of course I'm going to help, Hermione said, but she did not look at all happy. So, what do we need to do? Ron asked, hoping to smooth things over between his best friends, who were still glaring at each other. I need help transcribing these spells into English, Harry said, disgruntled. They all need to be researched. Then, from what I can understand, I need to learn how to perform the counter curses in Parseltongue. I was also hoping Hermione would read the diary later and see if I've missed anything important.
You know I will, Hermione said, sighing. I'm sorry, Harry. I do know it's Voldemort, not you, but this is still a bit much, and I just don't like it.
I don't like it either, Harry said. It's just what has to be done. I can't tell anyone else about the Horcruxes, and I need your help with this.
Hermione frowned. Harry, why do you need to learn how to perform them in Parseltongue? She asked.
Harry sat back and closed his eyes. Because it's part of Voldemort's protections, he answered flatly. I think the diary I destroyed recognized Voldemort's magic in me, or something. I'm not exactly sure why I could destroy it without injuring myself.
But Dumbledore? Ron whispered.
Harry squeezed his eyes shut tighter. I don't know which of those spells goes with the ring, but I found the one that matched with the locket's protections. One spell, in Parseltongue, and I could have retrieved it, without Dumbledore ever having to drink that poison.
Harry.
Hermione said his name softly.
I know, Hermione, Harry said wearily, opening his eyes.
What's done is done, and I can't do a damn thing about it. Finding Voldemort's diary means I've got a few answers to my past, but mostly it just cements the fact that I'm the only one who's got a bloody chance of destroying him without destroying myself.
It's a little easier now, though, right? Ron asked.
Harry could hear the desperate need for reassurance in Ron's voice. He shrugged. Yeah, I reckon it's a little easier, he agreed. Not by much, though, he wanted to add. Sure, it narrowed things down, but it hadn't changed the fact that he still had to find and destroy the damn things. There was another fuss when Harry brought out the books he'd borrowed, but Hermione quickly shut up when Harry said he'd gotten them from Remus. Eventually, though, Harry and Hermione set about transcribing the Parseltongue into English. Ron flipped through some of the books on the pretext of looking up some of the curses, but mostly just listened to what Harry was reading. Harry read fairly slowly, considering he had to consciously switch it to English, and Hermione easily kept up as she wrote it all down. Once everything was translated, they began researching the curses. Harry felt a little ridiculous, considering all he had to do was talk to Snape and he'd be able to teach Harry everything he wanted to know about them. But aside from the fact that Harry was still a little disturbed about going to Snape for information about the dark arts, Ron and Hermione would be the ones with him when it came to the Horcruxes, so it seemed prudent that all three of them be familiar with the curses they might come across. And Snape wasn't about to teach Ron and Hermione anything. They worked all day, only taking a break for lunch and finally calling it quits when it was time for dinner.
Harry, you do know it's going to take me at least a couple days to work through all this information, Hermione said as they packed away all the books in a charmed trunk that she produced.
I know, Harry said wearily, but we've researched most of the curses he might have used to guard his Horcruxes. We won't need the others until we're ready to actually destroy them.
Is there a reason why you need to know these other ones sooner? Hermione asked suspiciously.
I'm planning to go to Godric's Hollow tomorrow, Harry admitted. He had every hope of being able to find the last Horcrux.
Tomorrow? Ron asked in surprise.
Well, then, we are coming with you, Hermione said firmly, when Harry nodded.
That's what I figured, Harry said dryly. He reckoned he'd tell them about Ginny, the twins, and Remus the next day. He was thanking Merlin that he didn't have to tell them about Draco. He'd already been arguing with them enough.
So, are we done for now? Ron asked. I'm hungry.
You're always hungry, Hermione said, rolling her eyes.
Harry looks like he could use sleep more than food, she added in concern.
I'm having a long week, Harry agreed tiredly.
The battle on Sunday, telling Snape about the Malfoys on Monday. Tuesday hadn't been too bad, since he'd gotten out of the work moving into Grimmauld Place. Delivering the article to Luna and training on Wednesday. Full, painful day of training on Thursday. Visit to the chamber on Friday. Up all night reading Voldemort's bloody diary. Researching all day. He blinked dazedly. Long week was a huge understatement. No wonder Snape and Draco had tried keeping him home. Harry! Hermione called back his attention. You know that you've got a birthday and a wedding coming up this week as well, don't you? She reminded him. This week? Harry said in surprise. Mate, today is Saturday. Your birthday is on Wednesday, and the wedding is next Saturday, Ron said. Ring any bells?
It's been almost 2 months since we left Hogwarts, Harry said dazedly. So much had happened in such a short period of time. He was both surprised that it was already the end of July, but also amazed that it wasn't Christmas time with all that had happened.
It has been a busy summer, Hermione conceded.
Yeah, Harry said, adding, you don't know the half of it, in his head. He refused to think about what the next week might bring.
Why are we going to Fred and George's flat? Ron asked.
I'll tell you when we get inside, Harry said. He'd met up with Ron and Hermione at the Burrow, and said he had to stop at the Twins before heading to Godric's Hollow.
He didn't even bother knocking, and walked right in when they arrived, much to Ron and Hermione's surprise. Harry had been here so often, though, that the Twins had simply adjusted the wards to automatically allow him entrance. Ginny and the Twins greeted them cheerfully. It took Ron and Hermione a little longer to notice that Remus was there as well.
Harry, what's going on? Hermione asked warily, after making sure Ginny was all right.
Well, Ron here decided to give out information without asking me if he could, Harry said pointedly. Watch Ron blush a bright red. So, after a lot of arguing and nagging, we now have company on this trip today.
I'm surprised Harry's letting you come. I didn't think you were such a nag, Hermione said to Ginny bemusedly.
Ginny grinned. Oh, I think only someone extra close to Harry could get away with nagging him, she said. Harry scowled at her.
Shut it, Ginny, he snapped.
Harry, don't you think it's bad enough that you took Ginny with you to the chamber? Ron asked angrily.
Harry stared at him incredulously.
You're the one who told her about Godric's Hollow, he pointed out.
But that was before, Ron protested. I didn't bloody know that you were going to traumatize her first.
Ginny jumped in and began arguing with Ron and Hermione. Fingertips to his temples, Harry listened wearily. He sighed softly when he felt Draco behind him, rubbing the back of his neck.
Has it been that rough with them?
Remus asked quietly, as Fred and George jumped into the fray in Harry and Ginny's defense.
We've had to deal with some really difficult topics, and we went over some more of it this morning before we came here, Harry admitted.
Ron and Hermione are just feeling the tension as well.
Another headache?
Yeah.
Remus smiled gently. I think you might find a potion in the loo that will help, he suggested. I will handle this group for you.
Harry smiled gratefully in return, slipping into the loo with Draco. After a pain-relieving potion and several minutes of languid snogging, Harry was feeling much better.
I suppose we should get back out there, Harry said, sighing.
You know you don't have to do this today, Draco said, eyeing Harry in concern.
The sooner the better, Draco, Harry said. I don't even know if I'll find anything there. If I don't, it means I'll have to keep looking, which means more time.
Besides, he added, rolling his eyes, everyone's already here, so we might as well get this over with.
I'll be with you, Draco said. The others already agreed to cover for me, if you need me.
Harry tilted his head curiously, a smile playing at his lips. Who knew that Draco Malfoy could be so caring? He said softly.
Draco looked flustered. I'm just protecting what's mine, he said irritably.
Your protective side is driving me mad, but I like being yours, Harry said, before kissing Draco gently.
Well, good, Draco said.
not looking any less flustered. Feeling immeasurably better, Harry went out to face the others again. He had no idea what Remus had said, but Harry's friends were definitely not arguing anymore. In fact, they were downright subdued. "Impressive," Harry said to Remus in admiration. Remus smiled, clearly amused. "I simply gave them some gentle reminders," he said. Fred snorted. "Yeah, right. I feel properly chastised, and now I'm wondering where I put my half-finished essay," he said. "I do have the pressing need to turn mine in as well," George agreed, despite being a few years late. "I have to admit, his lectures are a lot more effective than Mum's," Ron said glumly. Ginny nodded in agreement. Hermione rolled her eyes at them. "What they're not saying is that Remus chewed us out for treating you badly when you've got enough to be dealing with," she said apologetically. Harry shrugged uncomfortably. "I'm just tired of being questioned at every turn," he said. "Whether anyone likes it or not, including me, I'm doing what has to be done." "I'll try to be better," Hermione said quietly, and the others nodded in agreement. "Thank you," Harry said simply. The next couple of hours were not the easiest that Harry had ever had to live through. Visiting the graveyard where his parents were buried hit him hard, and he wondered if Draco had been right that this wasn't the day to do this. He didn't think any day would be a good day. Actually seeing the gravestones with his parents' names was an incredible blow. He didn't understand why it should be so hard, considering he'd known they were gone. He'd heard them die every time the Dementors were around. Hell, he'd even seen their ghosts, or whatever, in the graveyard near the Riddle Manor. Somehow, this was just as hard when he thought it would be at least a little easier. He'd been shocked to learn that there was a gravestone for Sirius as well, especially as there had been no body. Remus said simply that this was where Sirius had wanted to be buried, body or not. Remus had granted this for him. Harry traced their names, tears coursing down his cheeks, his heart aching. Remus, Hermione, and Ginny had brought flowers. The scent filled the air Harry was breathing. Surely this was enough emotion to kill Voldemort, because Harry felt like it was going to swallow him whole. He knelt on the grass, head bowed. The air shimmered around him, and Harry was suddenly sheltered within the folds of the invisibility cloak. "Harry, it hurts, Draco," Harry whispered hoarsely. "I'm so sorry, Harry," Draco said helplessly. Harry realized that Draco's eyes were bright with unshed tears, and somehow that made him feel better. Draco had insulted Harry in regards to his parents many, many times in the past. Harry knew that Draco would never do so again. Cocooned in the invisibility cloak, Draco simply held him. Eventually, Harry pulled himself together and made to leave. He was standing with Remus and Ginny, Draco's hand resting in the small of his back. "Where are the others?" Harry asked quietly. "I sent them ahead to a small pub to wait for us," Remus said. Harry looked at Ginny questioningly. "Ron and Hermione think I'm here consoling you," she said with a watery smile. "Somehow you look to be in much better shape than me, though." Harry gave her a faint smile. "I happen to know a vain someone who knows a lot of glamour spells and places a lot of importance on appearance," he said. Ginny laughed. It sounded a little shaky, but it was a laugh nonetheless. They were both startled when the air shimmered, and Draco pulled Ginny under the cloak. Harry shook his head in amusement, fairly certain that Draco was now cleaning Ginny up to look presentable. It wouldn't do for Harry to go back to the others looking neat and for Ginny to look like a wreck. "Are you all right, Harry?" Remus asked, concerned. Harry stepped closer and gave the man a tight hug. "I should be asking you that question, too," he said, his voice muffled. I've been here many times, Remus whispered. This visit was for you, not for me.
I didn't think it would be this hard, Harry said.
It will always be difficult, Remus said. It gets easier to bear, though, with time.
I'm glad you're here, Harry said softly, pulling back to look at him. Remus smiled gently.
You've chosen a very smart young man to be with, he said.
Harry looked to the spot where he'd last seen Draco and Ginny, and then looked back to the gravestones in the distance.
Do you think they'd be happy for me? He asked.
Harry, all they ever wanted was for you to be happy, Remus said. If you are happy, then they would be happy for you.
But Harry couldn't figure out how to say what he wanted to, particularly as it wasn't safe to say certain things. He was with a boy. He was with a Malfoy. Would his parents and Sirius really be happy with that?
Remus seemed to understand, even without him saying the words. He looked incredibly sad, but he was smiling when Harry turned back to him.
I admit, if they were here, James and Sirius would likely be doing a lot of yelling, insisting that you be checked for Imperius and potions and whatever else they could think of.
Remus said, his voice filled with fond amusement.
Lily, though, would accept your young man with open arms.
She would? Harry asked in surprise.
She would, Remus said, nodding. She would see what I see, that you are happy with each other.
His smile widened, and his eyes crinkled.
Lily was also smart enough that she would see the stubbornness in the two of you, and she'd know that it would be futile to try to discourage your relationship. James and Sirius were stubborn in their own right, and it would take them longer to realize that they were outmatched. You do make a rather formidable pair.
Harry shrugged, but he was smiling faintly as Ginny appeared again. His smile widened when he saw that she definitely looked better physically. All traces of her tears were gone, but she appeared bewildered.
All right, Ginny?
Who knew? She said simply.
You just remember that he's mine, Harry said, grinning now.
Ginny's face twisted bemusedly.
I don't want him, she said. But, you know, I want someone who cares for me as much as he obviously cares for you. Maybe I should branch out into Slytherins as well.
Harry laughed, feeling the warm, comforting weight of Draco's hand on his back again. Remus was chuckling, too.
There is something to be said for Slytherins, he said in agreement.
Harry and Ginny looked at him in surprise, but then Harry's eyes narrowed in suspicion.
Remus? I think it is time for us to join the others, Remus said mildly, but his lips were still tilted in a mischievous smile.
Harry shook off suspicions of Remus and Severus as Ginny looped her arm through his.
Ginny, what are you doing? He asked.
Making it look good, Ginny said pleasantly. Don't worry, I have permission.
You have permission from who? He asked incredulously.
From someone who doesn't want Ron and Hermione getting suspicious, of course, she said easily.
Harry's shoulder was squeezed reassuringly, but he wasn't sure how he felt about this. It was a little bizarre to be seen with his ex-girlfriend, with his boyfriend's permission, especially considering who his boyfriend was.
We're not together, he said, needing to make that clear.
And I'm not kissing you.
Ah, but you're so good at kissing, Ginny teased. She suddenly squealed and jumped away from Harry. Harry smirked at her.
I think you were just warned, he said.
I was just joking, Ginny grumbled good-naturedly.
They paused at the gates to the cemetery, and Harry looked back. He knew his life was bizarre, but he was here. He was alive. It hurt like hell that his parents and Sirius weren't here with him. But he vowed anew to avenge their deaths. He realized he must have spoken his thoughts aloud when Remus spoke.
Avenge their deaths, he said quietly. But remember that they would want you to live and be happy.
Harry looked at Remus, blinking slowly. They wouldn't want either of us to spend all our time mourning and being sad, he said. Remus closed his eyes for a moment, but then he met Harry's gaze again and nodded in acknowledgement. Taking a deep breath, Harry looked at Ginny. So, shall we go find my other self-appointed keepers? He asked. Sure, she said, reaching out to hold his hand. Harry looked down at their linked hands as they began walking. I think we need to discuss which Slytherins interest you, he said dryly. Are you serious? Ginny asked. Harry shrugged. What do you think of Blaise Zambini? He asked. Ginny blinked. The bloke who was always in Slughorn's gatherings? She asked. Harry nodded. Ginny tilted her head thoughtfully. Well, I don't know much about him or where he stands politically, but he is good-looking. Seems rather moody, though. Oh, wait! I like dark-haired, good-looking, moody boys, she said, grinning cheekily. Remus chuckled, and Harry received a slap on his shoulder that he assumed meant Draco was amused as well. Shut it, Harry grumbled good-naturedly. We're not discussing me. I'm trying to figure out if you'd be interested in going out with Zambini. Ginny looked at him in askance. Do you happen to know something about him that I don't? She asked. I might, Harry admitted. Ginny nodded, knowing it probably wasn't safe to even be saying as much as they were. Remus gestured to point out that they were almost to the pub where the others were waiting. Wasn't he seeing Daphne Greengrass? Ginny asked, pausing before they went in. Yeah, but he's not anymore. But how could you know this? Harry exclaimed. Am I the only one who doesn't know these things? Ginny sniggered. Probably, she said. You do tend to be rather clueless when it comes to the dating scene. How you've managed your current situation is beyond my understanding. Humph, Harry huffed. I'll have you know that I've managed just fine. Ginny's grin was mischievous. So you're saying he didn't have to jump you in a room full of people to get you to notice him? Ginny! Harry exclaimed, feeling his cheeks heat up, knowing that Draco was listening, let alone Remus. He wasn't about to tell her that he'd essentially jumped Draco in the same manner, but he was sure Draco had just made the connection. He could only hope that Draco took it as a good thing that he'd learned from his ex-girlfriend how to snake a boyfriend. Thinking of it that way, he smiled ruefully. His bloody boyfriend was probably laughing his arse off under the invisibility cloak. Ginny was laughing as they stepped into the small pub. Harry held the door open, feeling Draco slip into the room, Remus following. They quickly spotted their friends sitting at a large table in the corner of the room. Fred and George were grinning at them, but Ron and Hermione were looking astounded. Hey, Harry! Fred called cheerfully as they neared. You can sit by me. Harry eyed him warily, wondering what kind of joke was being played. He glanced questioningly at Ron and Hermione to see if they knew. I don't think it's a trick, mate, Ron said, rolling his eyes at his brother's antics. They've just been having fun waiting by making up stories about you and your imaginary friend. I have an imaginary friend now, Harry asked, arching a brow at the twins and watching as Fred made a dramatic show of pulling Harry's chair away from the table. Harry was fairly certain Draco was being given the opportunity to take the seat next to George. I've told them it's inappropriate, Hermione said in disapproval. Aw, you're no fun, Hermione, George said. Come on, Harry. I'm sure your friend would want you to sit by him. Ginny was giggling, and Remus was listening with amusement as they took the two empty chairs between Hermione and Fred. Shaking his head, Harry allowed Fred to seat him at the table. He was reassured as he felt Draco's leg brush against his own. Is there a particular reason why I have an imaginary friend? Harry asked curiously, wondering what kind of stories they'd been making up to make it possible for Draco to be able to sit next to him. Oh, it's ridiculous, Hermione huffed dismissively. They were simply bored. She eyed Harry critically. I didn't expect you to come back so happy, she said. Harry shrugged. I've just been talking with Remus and Ginny, he said. So what now? Ron asked. Harry felt his lightheartedness swiftly vanishing again. He worked to pull himself out of gloomy emotions, simply to be yanked back down again. He had to wonder why he hadn't gone completely insane yet. "Harry, did you actually have a plan?" Hermione asked, after Harry had surreptitiously cast a silencing charm around their table. "Do I ever have a plan?" he shot back sarcastically. "Harry!" Hermione admonished. "Hermione, don't start again," Harry said warningly. "Harry, I'm not even sure it makes sense to be here," Ron said, glancing warily around the table at the others, not wanting to reveal too much. "Ron's right," Hermione said. "He would have been done at Godric's Hollow when, well, when you were little. He's had no reason to come back since he finished things the other way." Her eyes were darting about as she carefully chose her phrasing. Harry sighed heavily. "I know. I should have been the last. I wasn't. And this is actually a place of failure for him." "So, why are we here then?" Hermione asked. "We have other places that should be checked that are much more likely. What about the orphanage?" "It has to be here somewhere," Harry said, running a hand through his hair in frustration. "The orphanage was significant, but he's already dealt with that through the one in the cave. And this place is more significant than any place we've ever discussed. Godric's Hollow just fits," he said stubbornly. They'd discussed many possible locations over the months since Dumbledore had first told him about the Horcruxes, but none of them made as much sense to Harry as Godric's Hollow. "Remus," Harry said suddenly, "has anyone been to my parents' house since Voldemort returned?" "Harry, there isn't a house there any longer. The place was practically destroyed when Voldemort attacked," Remus answered quietly. "I know that," Harry said impatiently. "Hagrid told me, and how the Muggles were ransacking everything afterwards. But has anyone been there since Voldemort returned?" he asked again. Remus frowned at Harry. "I don't know, Harry," he said. "I doubt there's been any reason for anyone to go there, as the property is yours to do as you wish now that you are old enough. I do know that the property hasn't even been warded for many, many years." "Dumbledore would have checked, Harry," Hermione said in a reasonable tone. "He didn't check enough into where Ginny and I went," Harry pointed out, ignoring his shock that he owned the property. "And I don't think anyone would have been here since he died." "Well, that's true," Hermione agreed. "Voldemort could have easily moved it after Dumbledore died, and I'm more sure than ever that he did," Harry insisted. "This is significant. It's Gryffindor, and he'd see it as a way of making up for his failure. It's also a way of getting revenge on me, even if he believes he's the only one who knows it. It brings everything together." "What if he hasn't moved it yet?" Ron asked. Harry shook his head in frustration, frustrated with the situation and trying to explain hunches he didn't fully understand himself. "He might not have," he agreed reluctantly. "But he would have done it soon after Dumbledore's death. A way of celebrating," he said bitterly. "It's just how he works." "I find it a little disturbing when you can think like Voldemort," Hermione said, wrinkling her nose in disgust. "But it does make sense," she grudgingly admitted. "Wouldn't this make even more sense if we just went there and checked it out instead of talking about it?" Ron asked. "The property is on the outskirts of town, sheltered for privacy," Remus said. "We can eat lunch and then we'll go there."